This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. In the gin-soaked days of yesteryear, a beautiful woman on the arm was an executive's secret weapon. A young knockout signaled power, style, and proof that you had it all.
I have a very painless exercise, which is taking some extremely important clients to dinner and having you on my arm.
Why don't you ask Joni? She's a professional something.
Because they're dying to meet you. You'd like them. It's a dinner. I'll owe you.
That's everyone's favorite womanizer, Roger Sterling, from the AMC hit Mad Men. That was then. Tina Cassidy asks in the Boston Globe whether the trophy wife has faded into history. Tina is a correspondent and former editor at the Globe and author of a new book about Jackie O's life in the year following the death of Aristotle Onassis. Tina, great to have you on Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with Jackie Onassis. Her 1968 wedding to Aristotle sent shudders through Americans and seemed to symbolize in many ways trophy wifedom to the nth degree. Beautiful arm candy marries tycoon a few decades older, right?
Yes, a few decades older, several inches shorter, and, you know, he wasn't the most attractive man either. But he did have a lot of money and a really big boat.
I love what she told Truman Capote when asked why she was marrying Aristotle. You can deliver the line if you'd like.
Yeah, she says, well, I couldn't exactly marry a dentist from New Jersey. That's a great line.
But the stereotype is of the ambitious woman, maybe wanting to jump a social class, usually vapid. But there's no question that Jackie had a brain and many opinions and options. Do you think the pressure is on the arm candy to hide that side of themselves?
Well, I think at least then it was. And she certainly grew up at a time when women weren't expected to be smart. In fact, many women quit college early if they had a marriage prospect because they didn't want to be viewed as being as educated as their husbands. So I think that's important context for looking at Jackie as a possible trophy wife when she was married to Onassis. But the truth was she actually had more formal education than he did. But the image that she projected was not of, you know, the world's smartest woman. It was of one of the world's most beautiful and well-dressed.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly one who knew how to choose a decorator. So I think that that's really what this was about. She was a trophy for him. And I think that the point that I make in this piece for the Globe is that the idea of the trophy wife is now becoming anachronistic. Thank goodness.
Well, what does today's executive want by his side to project power?
Yeah, what today's executives seem to want is more of a peer marriage. I think that on the one hand, there's this cultural influence happening where men don't want to appear like conspicuous consumers of women. Just to have a woman who's beautiful is a little too obvious. She's in it for the money, you're in it for the looks, and it's just really tacky. Not that it hasn't always been, but it's just becoming less culturally accepted now. One of the factors behind this is that women are now officially more educated than men.
Mm.
It's been a slow trend line, but it's certainly true. And so now it's actually hard for a man to go out and find a woman who's trying to marry up because she might make more money than him, and she's probably better educated too.
Yeah, in fact, 30% of working women now out-earn their husbands. So this idea of marrying up may be behind us.
Mm-hmm.
Women have changed, certainly. We work, we think, we aren't defined by our man. A University of Texas study shows that men have also changed. Tell us a little bit about the research.
Yes. Well, this was a fascinating study that looked at nearly 50 years of data. And in the early years of the survey, men wanted things like women with domestic skills and women who were virgins. But by the 90s, it completely changed. Now they wanted a woman who had financial prospects of her own. And I think that that says a lot. You know, it's also interesting that that snapshot was taken before the Great Recession happened. So, you know, I think that we were starting to see men come around with the idea that, you know, if I'm supposed to be an equal and I'm supposed to do the dishes and help take care of the kids, then she has to pull her own weight too and, and have a job.
Is there any evidence that equal partnerships, men and women making about the same amount of money, same level of education, that may lead to more stable relationships?
Well, I think the jury's still out. This is a relatively recent phenomenon. We're seeing this unfold over the last 10 years or so, and I think that we have to wait a bit more to see how the marriages play out. But one of the interesting things that is clear already is that fewer people are getting married, and certainly women don't necessarily view marriage anymore as a necessity. And I make the point in the piece that, in fact, more women are becoming single mothers by choice.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I think that that shows that women are feeling like they don't need a man for the paycheck anymore. They have to be attracted to him for other reasons, too.
Right, but you also write about the power bride. This is the woman who values career above domesticity. Now, what are they looking for in a partner?
They're definitely looking for looks, and they're looking for peers, too. And sometimes they're looking for a trophy husband, if I dare say it. You know, they're looking for someone who's, willing to possibly stay home with the kids. After I wrote this piece in the Globe, I got so many emails from people, including many men, who said, oh, it was so nice to see myself in this article. You know, not that I had quoted them, but that, you know, I'm home with the kids. I gave up my job because my wife made more money than I did. And it really is playing out every day. In homes across America, as they say.
Right. All right, back to Jackie. Your book focuses on this dramatic changes in her life after Aristotle's left. We have just a couple minutes left. How did she outgrow her trophy wifedom?
Yes. Well, the book is about her midlife crisis in 1975, and that is the year when she becomes a widow again. She's just 45 years old, and Caroline is graduating from high school, so she's facing the empty nest syndrome. And so much else is happening in America in 1975, including, you know, ERA is still being debated, so women are entering the workforce in record numbers. So Jackie is now suddenly alone and trying to figure out what to do with the rest of her life, and she goes out and gets a job. I mean, it's one of three major things that she does this year to sort of reclaim the person she always had been, but really hadn't been focused on it before because she was too busy being a wife and mother. So she goes through a really remarkable transition over a 12-month period.
And never remarried.
Never remarried, no, but she worked in publishing for the next 20 years of her life and was quite happy with that choice.
Well, Tina, congratulations on the book. I can't wait to look at it. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you too, Virginia.
Tina Cassidy, correspondent and former editor at the Boston Globe, where she wrote about Night Falling on the Trophy Wife. Her new book is called Jackie After O, One Remarkable Year When Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis Defied Expectations and Rediscovered Her Dreams. You'll find links to more on the article and the book at our young, blonde, busty, but really brainy website, wordofmouthradio.org. Coming up, Crime Lit comes to town. The author of Cloudland talks about his new crime novel. It's set in the Connecticut River Valley and borrows from the real-life serial murders in the region in the 1980s. That's when Word of Mouth continues. The queen of my-